Good evening, everyone. Welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Your hosts, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, joining you on September 6th, 2019. September. That doesn't seem like I should be saying that. Of course, right now, that means Alan Nelson is going even crazier because he's that much closer to Christmas. Yes, Alan, I'm going to continue to pick on you because you're just obsessed. We are getting that much closer to the end of 2019. And Rich, I think we may be freaking Andrew Rappaport out. We have been pretty consistent since we decided to make sure we were putting these out every week. I think in total we've done maybe four repeat episodes from previous shows, but I think we're on a track, brother. We're on a track. We're finally getting there.
Well, I'm wondering at this point if the listeners may prefer the rerun episodes, because it seems like some of the rerun episodes have been downloaded more than the current episode. So.
Well, I'm gonna hope and pray that that's the folks who have never had that opportunity to listen to the old shows have said, hey, that looks interesting. I'll listen to it too. So hopefully our new listeners are just tuning into some things that they have not yet had an opportunity. Speaking of, oh my goodness, Andrew Rappaport, do you have like a radar or a camera on me? I am looking at Facebook as I'm talking to you, Rich. I had posted a picture that we were going to be recording, and then it's now been 18 minutes since that picture. As I'm mentioning his name, Andrew Rappaport writes, wow, what a record number of episodes for the year. If he has stuck a camera in this house, I am going to clobber him. That is just creepy.
Andrew is somewhat of a techno genius. They may have actually based the character of Tony Stark off of Andrew. So he may have some micro drone that he has managed to slip into your home. And as you are recording this, he may be sitting there watching you, watching the live feed.
That's just, I'm telling you, if he's Andrew, stop it. Stay out of my house. You're creeping me. You're creeping me out. Oh my goodness. I mention it and boom, Facebook pops up and says he's commenting. That is just creepy to the max. All right. We're losing our listeners because they're like, well, this is what it's about. Sorry, folks. We are seeing an increase in the number of downloads that we get. Nothing like, say, the guys over at Just Thinking or, theology driven guys or anything like Wretched Radio or anything. No, just a few extra of you. And we're grateful for you. Believe me. We're thrilled to have you on board, but I think that has something to do with the fact that we are seeing even the old shows that we've popped back up, get some additional downloads. And, we're grateful that folks are listening, and we hope that the consistency has been a blessing to you as well. So that being said, Rich, how you doing this week? I know you've kind of had some ups and downs. Sleep cycles have been off and other things, but how the hell are you doing?
Well, I'm better than I deserve, brother, and that's always will hold true until I'm in heaven with Christ. Amen. No matter what, here on earth, I'm always better off than I deserve because I am saved. And I've been, I can't remember. I think it was Friday of last week we did that show. But since then, I was blessed to be able to finally meet my new granddaughter, yay, who is now roughly 10 days old and is starting to improve and eat better and, all that, get on a normal cycle and everything. And I'm sure some parents out there that can remember having a newborn, they know what I'm talking about. But my son-in-law and my daughter are, in that stage now to where they will be sleep deprived for the next 15 months or so. So, and my oldest granddaughter, she has taken to her new little baby sister, and I think at times she thinks that's her baby instead of her mama's baby. She is extremely vigilant and probably wants to help more so than what her mama wants her to try to be helping with. And one funny quick story here, my wife stopped by to see them the other afternoon, and the baby was in the bassinet sleeping, and my wife leaned over, you know, was looking at the baby and everything, and my oldest granddaughter, who is 3 and a half, comes up to her and says, "Nani, don't disturb her." So I'm thinking that's probably what my granddaughter has gotten used to being told, but it was just hilarious. Here she is, 3 and a half, telling her grandmama, "Don't disturb her." She was concerned about her little baby sister being disturbed. So.
Ah, so cute.
But you were talking about the radio show, and it gave me an idea. Maybe we should start telling people that if they share these episodes, that a blessing will come down to them. You know, kind of do a version of the prosperity gospel instead of asking them to sow a seed and send us money, that they will receive a blessing. Maybe we should use the angle that if they'll share the sow a seed and share the show episodes, they'll receive a blessing. What do you think?
I think if we are to believe that Benny Hinn is being honest, you and I would be, well, we would really upset the Holy Spirit by doing that, considering what he said this week. So I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't do that. If you haven't guessed,
I was being a little bit snarky there.
Just a little bit. And honestly, this might get us a little bit of heat, because I think some folks are not inclined to take the position that you and I are going to take on this program this week. Although I think some have.
I'm going to interrupt you. I hate interrupting you, but I'm going to do it this time.
You do it all the time.
Well, in this particular case, our faithful listeners, I have a feeling they're on our side and would agree with us. Now, someone randomly that happens to find this show that is a supporter of the Benny Hinn Ministries, they may take exception to some things that we're going to say. But our normal base of faithful listeners, based on what we know of their beliefs, I think they're probably going to agree with us.
Well, I hope that's the case. I know that there are some people that have taken a cautious but optimistic view. I will say that I am far more cautious and not at all optimistic, but I will credit my 20 years in a certain career field as giving me a slightly jaded view of life. And I tend to be show me more than tell me kind of a mindset. So we'll see about that. And see, Rich, Andrew responded. He says it's the cameras he has in our house. Andrew? You're freaking me out, dude. You're freaking me out.
Well, I'll just tell you, if he's got a camera in my house watching me, he is going to die of boredom.
Okay. All right. Got to get onto the show. Got to get onto the show because our get turn Facebook and Twitter off because they are going to distract me, just like they do a certain other show I listen to. That poor guy gets pulled into other conversations. All right. Most of you are probably aware, but some of you may not be. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We are going to talk about prosperity preacher, heretic, false teacher, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, extraordinaire, Benny Hinn. And I say that with a certain amount of snark, yes, because this man, for decades, not just a couple years, he's not a new name, for decades, has been bilking people out of millions and billions of dollars by promises of healing, prophetic words, imparting gifts and blessings, financial prosperity. And he has been doing this around the globe.
Well, let me throw this in. And This was a recent figure that I found. His current net worth is in excess of $40 million.
Okay. So, again, this is an individual who has, honestly, in all honesty, is the epitome of the false teacher that is to be marked and avoided in Scripture. Okay? We have to understand this. This is not somebody who has come under the sway of false teaching, was new to the faith, didn't really understand what he was getting into. This is a man who has been spoken to, confronted, his theology been challenged, for decades. So we are going to try to be very fair about this, but I'm going to tip my hand up front and tell you, I don't believe what he has said. I'm just going to say that because I don't want to leave any question where anybody thinks I stand. All right. So,
well, let me throw my 2 cents in, my 2 cents worth in now. I've seen different postings from different sources, some of the more of the discernment ministry type headlines and ministries out there and some other radio shows and whatnot. And, you know, for the most part, the headlines speak about either Benny Hinn repenting or Benny Hinn apologizing. I have not put myself through self torture like you have, but I have watched the 4 minute video version several times. I'm sorry, I am yet to hear a true apology, much less seen or heard anything that remotely resembles biblical repentance. So I'm just letting everyone know up front, I'm on your side, Chris. I agree with you. The things that we've discussed in this show, I agree with you 100%. So if you want to send hate mail, you can direct this go round to both of us.
All right. So let's go back a few days. Today is the 6th. Let's go back 4 days to September 2nd, 2019. Benny Hinn, via a live Facebook live stream video of his Monday night service, which, by the way, this is a 3 hour and 50 minute video, of which today I spent almost 2 watching because I really wanted context. So this video comes out and it's aired on Facebook, and the following day it starts making the rounds, and I think it was Wednesday that I saw it, and it was hitting the Twitter feeds where, and we'll put all these links in the show notes, but on YouTube under the title Benny Hinn Confession, a 4 minute and 23 second video is pulled from the 3 hour and 50 minute video, and it is Benny Hinn talking about how he's no longer going to tell people to send in money for blessings or miracles. That, as he put it, the prosperity gospel. Let me find my quote. I wrote this. I wish we could live stream video the way we record. I don't know how. I need to talk to Andy Olson. Andy, maybe you can teach me how to do this. But he said, prosperity has gone a little crazy. That's his quote. And he talks about how he's correcting his theology, that he doesn't believe, he doesn't see the Bible the way he saw it 20 years ago, etc., etc. And so the way this came out and hit a lot of even Christian media outlets was that Benny Hinn may be repenting and turning away from the prosperity gospel. And when I saw this, my first thought when that came out was, I don't believe that that's probably a fair assessment of what he said in that 4.5 minutes. I watched it. I wasn't convinced that it was like necessarily repentance. And I knew that there had to be a lot more. So, Rich, what I did was I went on Twitter Wednesday afternoon, which would have been 2 days later, would have been the 4th. After seeing so many people saying how encouraged they were that this could be an answer to prayer, that Kosti Hinn, who is his nephew, who has come out of the Word Faith Prosperity Gospel shenanigans, he's written now 2 books, he's a pastor of a church, and he's been praying for his family, sharing the gospel with his family, that maybe this is an answer to even, you know, Kosti Hinn's work. And some people were like, I think we need to take him at his word. And I went, what word? We have 4.5 minute clip out of how long of a video. So I went on, and I'll put the link to my Twitter live video so you guys can kind of see what I was talking about, what my thoughts were that day, was to basically pump the brakes a little bit and slow down, because that we there was a lot we just didn't have answers to. We didn't know what the context of this particular message was. We didn't know why it was being brought up. And my contention was, this is an individual who for decades has bilked people out of money by his words. He has no power. He has no more miracles to offer. He's not a prophet. He's not, he's not anointed in the way that he wants people to believe he's anointed. And so the only thing he can do to get to where he is showmanship. And he's done this for decades. And I'm like, why would we start believing a man's words when he has used his words to destroy so many people's faith for years? And so I get that we serve an amazing God. He can save anyone. There's no question of that. If God intends to save Benny Hinn, he will save Benny Hinn. There's no question of that. But to see just a slight nudge in what we think might be a good direction, Rich, my first thought was, whoa, stop, round up the horses, hit the brakes, whatever it is, stop. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are we doing? Why are we wanting to give this man any kind of credibility by the mere words that he has spoken? Do you think that's a fair assessment of how we should approach it initially?
Well, I agree with you, brother. And, we've discussed different aspects of some of this stuff over the years, but, a known wolf, a known heretic, and, everyone's basing a reaction off of that 4-minute video. And I seriously doubt very many people that have come out and, praising Benny Hinn of, getting on the right track, so to speak, and everything else. I seriously doubt they know the entire context of that 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. And especially when it comes to someone like Benny Hinn, we have to approach and look at him like the Christians did when Paul was converted, because at first they did not trust Paul. They didn't believe for a second that Paul had converted and become a Christian. And, it took time. It took a lot of effort. And Paul was not necessarily trying to gain the trust of the Christians, but that's part of it. It takes time to build trust. It takes time to bear and show fruit of turning from a false gospel, of bearing true fruit. In times like this, when it's someone with such a high profile like Benny Hinn, we basically have to be farmers. We have to sit back and wait and watch and see what grows from the soil of what he is claiming. And if the tree is no different than what he has shown in the past, then we know that it was not a result of true repentance or true apology. Sadly, though, in our day and age, people either take, wow, this is great, approach, or they're very cynical, there's no way that man's ever going to change kind of approach. It's hard to say, okay, let's just wait and see. But for the most part, most of what I've seen coming across Twitter and Facebook is pretty, it goes in line with one post that I saw today, and the post read in speaking about Benny Hinn, it said, "That's good news and a good start. I pray the man has truly repented and embraced the cross of Christ." And that's a quote from someone online. Now, the second part of that I'd agree with. Yes, let's pray that he has truly repented and embraced the cross of Christ. But at the moment, I'd have to say, I'm not too sure about that. The first part, that's good news and a good start. Well, yeah. Is it really? I mean, if we take that entire sermon or that entire whatever it was, what'd you say? It was from a church service?
Yeah, the way it's listed is Benny Hinn Live Monday Night Service, September 2nd, 2019.
Well, if we take that 4 minutes into context and stretch it out to everything else that was discussed in that sermon or motivational speech or whatever you want a label you want to put on it, can we really say that one sentence out of 4 hours or 3 hours, is that one sentence really showing any evidence of apology or repentance? And I'm going to defer to you because you're the one that has sat and gone through just about that entire thing. I've watched and listened to the 4 minute portion several times. Honestly, I have not had the opportunity to sit down and go through and listen to the thing in its entirety. After you put the links in tonight's show, I'm going to take time this weekend and listen so I can put everything into complete context, more so than just the one statement he made in the 4 minute video. But even based on just the 4 minute video alone, I have serious, serious, serious doubts as to him truly repenting and putting his faith in Christ, because even if he is truly turning away from the prosperity gospel and he denounces it and he denounces associations with people like at Charisma Magazine and these other charlatans that are on TBN, even if he did that, that in itself still does not mean that he has put his faith in the one true Christ, mm-hmm. and that he is adhering to the one true gospel that's taught in the Bible. It's still a lot there that is based on that 3 hour video that we were discussing in pre-show. There's still plenty in that alone that even if he completely renounced the asking for money for healings and miracles, there's still enough there that would leave any true Christian, they should have serious doubt as to whether this man is even truly saved or not. Amen. Just because he's going to quit asking for money for miracles or asking you to send in $1,000 to receive a blessing, even if he quits doing that, does not mean whatsoever that he is completely changed and has come to the one true saving faith in Christ.
Amen. Amen. And that's my concern. I think people hear Benny Hinn say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I think this is an offense to the gospel. And they go, ooh, that's awesome. But we all, though, if you're a listener of this program, or if you're someone who knows Rich and I in some way, you're probably one of these individuals that goes, hey, I don't like it when the gospel's ripped out of context or something from the Bible's ripped out of context and it's thrown back at me and they're telling me it says something it doesn't say, and I want you to understand it in context so we rightly understand it and get the right theology. That's important to you. And so we're always arguing context, context, context. If that's the case, then why wouldn't we want to do that with Benny Hinn, a known heretic? So, thankfully, a friend via a friend in real life and via Twitter on that face or a Twitter live video that I did found this particular 4 hour service live video and sent me the link. So I tortured myself a bit today, needed to do some work in my office. And so I slapped the link up and it was my intent to sit down and watch as much as I could before Rich and I had to do tonight's program. And, it's about an hour and 15 minutes of video before you get to where he starts to roll into this. And it's about an hour and 20 where he actually gets to this section. That's roughly the way Facebook video is. It's kind of hard for me to get an exact time mark, and I apologize. So for about an hour and 15 minutes, the video starts with, let me give you some background and context and why getting what happens next is questionable. Okay. For an hour and 15 minutes, Benny Hinn does what I believe is probably a typical Benny Hinn service. The video starts with, it looks like an end of an interview with a couple of people who are involved with the film Unplanned, I believe is what it is. Cause they're talking about the film about Planned Parenthood, about the woman who finally, you know, realizes what an abortion is and turns pro-life advocate, and that's Abby Johnson, and that's the concept behind the movie Unplanned. So I believe that's what this is that they're talking about. And from there, it goes into Benny doing a time of singing with people, praying, having them, as he says, pray in the spirit, not pray to the spirit, pray in, I-N, in the spirit. And Benny starts doing a lot of singing. There are times that Benny goes into ecstatic tongues, this prayer in tongues, and I use that in air quotes. This may offend some of our charismatic friends, and I apologize. It's not my intent. But this is, it's the, you know, rumba shalamba type of ecstatic language that's no intelligent words. Even if you believe that that's an angelic prayer language, there are no interpreters. Violation of scripture. He's telling people, pray in the spirit. And as you're watching him sing, people are doing what he just did. They are, you can see them mumbling, you know, the movement of their mouth. There's no actual words being generated. And it proceeds into this period of healing where he starts telling people, your illness is healed. That surgery you had planned, you don't need it anymore. That you had, I sense there's cancer. That cancer is being healed. I'm rebuking this cancer. That person with the stomach illness, it's gone. And he does this for an extended period of time. So mind you, this is standard, you know, health and wellness and prosperity preaching.
All right, brother, let me just make this clear for anyone listening to this. What you are describing is the entirety of the video that the 4 minutes was pulled from. What you're talking about happened in the exact sermon that this 4 minute video was pulled from.
Yes.
Just make that, I just want everyone to understand that. What Chris is discussing, what Chris is describing occurred
prior to
that 4 minute video. So when we're talking about that entire sermon in context, this was what was going on prior to his statements about refuting the prosperity gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make sure that everyone was completely clear that we're not discussing something that happened months ago.
No.
or a previous sermon. This is the exact sermon that the 4 minute video was pulled from.
Yep. This is all on the September 2nd, 2019 Benny Hinn live Monday night service. This is from the live video. This is not compiled together, edited videos that they've been slapped together and put up on YouTube. This is his Benny Hinn Ministry Facebook page. I will give you the link in the show notes. Okay. Now, he then, during the course of this, has named out number of people, somebody supposedly having a tongue infection, one person having cancer, other people with digestive issues. That's how they put it, digestive issues. And he then says, those of you who are healed, come down, as all this praying is going on. And for what goes on for the next half hour is him, one person after another, bringing them down, talking to them, waving his hand, blowing on them, gently push, and they all fall down. The one that there were two that just absolutely stood out to me as, in my opinion, absolutely fraudulent. The first was the young man who reportedly had cancer. Now, mind you, this is a man while praying, saying, "I sense this, I sense that, I believe that, you know, somebody has this. This person has a problem with their leg. Your leg is healed." It again, standard. Blab it and grab it preaching. He says, who was it that had the cancer? Huh? What do you mean who? If you've been given a word from God that somebody has cancer, and you would know, you should be able to walk up to him and say, "Come here." Not say, "Where is he?" or "Who is he?" He says, "Bring him here, bring him here." This young man comes up. And the man proceeds, the young man, probably in his 20s, tells him that he was diagnosed with cancer in April. Mind you, we are now in September. So 5 months has had cancer. Supposedly had some kind of surgery. We're never told what kind of cancer. We're never told what kind of surgery. We're never told what issues he's facing. Only that he has cancer and that Benny has healed him. And the man looks as healthy as an ox. Does not even appear. I mean, if you wanted to say it was a skin cancer and it was on his face and he'd had, then there should have been some sort of markings on his face if it was something simple, right? There's nothing. There's no indication of where the cancer is or what the problem is. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a question just for clarity for our listeners. Was the man claiming that his cancer was healed from this service?
Yes.
Or that Benny Hinn healed him in a previous service?
No, he's saying at one point, Benny asks him what he felt, and he's talking about how things felt warm and things changed and he feels healed. It's this service.
Okay. So absolutely no medical evidence whatsoever at this moment. He's just saying, okay, you just healed me of my cancer, but the man honestly has no idea, no medical proof, no x-rays, no scans, nothing.
And I'll tell you something, from having two loved ones in my life, they can tell you exactly what kind of cancer they had, how they found out, what the procedures were, etc. When this man is being asked, I get the feeling it's like he doesn't know how to say anything or what, and Benny is trying to prompt him. And he just, like, I get the feeling he was told to come down and say he had cancer, and he doesn't know how to say or what to do, and Benny's having to prompt him more. At one point, now Benny has this man fall down three times. First time he comes up, puts his arm on his shoulder, kind of does a gentle push, boom, down he goes. He has him stand back up. I rebuke your cancer, arm on the shoulder, boom, down he goes. Brings him back up one more time. And then he's talking to him more. And unless you're watching, there's a sleight of hand that goes on that you might not catch. And what happens is he has the man now face the camera. Benny's off to the side of him, and he puts his left hand on his right arm. And he's got in front of the man, he almost has that hand hidden, almost. And then he does this breathing on him, like he's breathing. He does it twice, and after the second time, you can watch, and my wife caught it, he moves that left hand arm forward about a couple inches, just like a gentle push, and down the man goes. It was a cue to go down.
Well, did I hear you correctly? This gentleman that came forward claimed he had cancer, but he did not know what type of cancer that he had.
He never articulated what kind. When he was asked about it, he said his father had died of cancer many years ago. He was always afraid to get the cancer, and then his statement was, I just got it. That's not how anybody who gets cancer talks. You don't just say, I just got it, like I caught the cold. So this young man had to be prompted. I feel like he was an actor. He was a plant. I know a lot of people can say, you don't know what that is, you can't be sure. Okay. I can't go and interview the man. I can't put him in interrogation and find out the truth. But I can be pretty observant. And this man has all the earmarks of being an act.
Well, let me add this. You're 20 or so years in law enforcement. I would say that you are an expert in observations, because that is part of your training and part of your job is observing people and sizing people up and reading body language and trying to deduce whether this person is trying to be deceptive or not. Am I right or am I wrong? Is that not part of what you've done for nearly 20 years?
No, you're right. That you're right. And that's why when I listened to the 4-minute clip, a lot of alarm bells went off. And I do attribute a little bit of my suspicious nature to that. But I also attribute part of my suspicious nature to the fact that I have learned to not only listen to what somebody says, but to what they don't say. So anyway, let's continue on this, because we do want to talk about the 4-minute clip as well. This proceeded. There was another young lady that was dressed to the nines, looked like she was ready to go out for a formal night on the town, had the perfect makeup and everything, and she was the one that supposedly had a tongue infection. And boom, down she goes, and she lays almost perfectly with her legs extended just right and her hands on her chest just perfectly. Again, Rich, you and I both know being slain in the spirit only happened really once, and that was Ananias and Sapphira. They lied, and God slew them, okay? So being slain in the spirit is not a legit thing anyway.
I'm sorry. I'm still trying to figure out what in the Sam Hill is a tongue infection.
Well, I can imagine that any part of your body can deal with infections. She gave an odd description of striations and other odd appearances on her tongue, but that she was healed again in this service. You look at her, this was not a person who looked ill. Now, somebody may argue, well, that's because she's healed now, but trust me, this person came in like ready to be on camera.
Well, I'm just wondering, did the camera ever zoom in on her tongue prior to the being slain and then zoom in again afterwards?
Nope, not at all. Not at all. So this is standard Benny Hinn fare. Healings, ecstatic utterances, claimed as tongues. There were times when he was doing this prayer stuff. He's starting to bring people down. People are starting to quiet down in their prayers. No, no, keep praying. No, no, you keep praying. Standard effort to keep people ramped up. He don't let them get calmed down because they might see something they shouldn't see. We want them to eyes closed, be praying for these people. To watch them get catched. Watch the show. Standard Benny Hinn fare. For an
standard
hour.
Standard word of faith, fake healing.
Exactly. Okay, so for an hour and 15 minutes, this went on. At the beginning, before he got into this, he made mention of something he was going to talk about later and how there was an individual who had shared something with him that was prophetic, and this man is always right when he's prophetic. Doesn't give the individual's name, doesn't give examples of how he's always rightly prophetic. At about an hour and 15 in is when we start to get to the promised information he wants to share. He gives in the full hour and 45 minutes that I watched, so from hour 15 to about hour 45 for the 30 minutes that he's teaching that I hear this, he gives three main things that he's going to surprise people with. And it's at about hour and 20 minute mark where the famous clip comes in. So we have promises of prophetic utterances from an unknown person who's always right. We have supposed healings. We have ecstatic prayer utterances. And we have people whipped into a frenzy. As you said, Rich, standard word of faith, you know, stuff. If Benny Hinn is a man who is intent on repentance and turning away from the prosperity gospel, that first hour and 15 minutes would not have happened. I'm sorry. This is why I said in the Facebook Live video, we need context. This set the stage for him going into the famous, now famous viral video. So as we get into this, he acts hesitant, like he doesn't really want to say these things, but they need to be said, and well, I guess I'm going to say them now kind of thing. And that's where the video comes into play. And again, I wish we could play this streaming. Maybe there's a way to do that if you guys are knowledgeable on how to use the setup that I have and be able to do it live as opposed to add in post-production. I would love you to show that to me, folks. I don't know how to do that yet. So I'm going to read to you the quotes. And Rich, you and I will discuss some of these as we go. But he starts off with talking about, and the quote of this I said earlier is, prosperity has gone a little crazy. Now, Rich, that if you're talking about something that is a gospel message that is false and that you're going to turn away from, are you going to say prosperity's gone a little crazy? Or are you going to say prosperity message is false?
Well, the red flag to me in that statement was the word little.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that the prosperity gospel has gone a little crazy. It's always been crazy, and it's not been a little crazy. It's been tremendously crazy because it's false.
Exactly.
And it is nothing but having the prosperity gospel itself is does nothing but feed on other people's greed and desire for things and more money and more this and more that. And that is against what the Bible teaches. And his use of the adverb little in itself is tremendously revealing into what he's actually thinking, at least in my opinion.
I agree. Now, folks, I tried to write these verbatim, and I tried to write them. I mean, some of these, even though I wrote them down as separate quotes, they're like back to back. And so I'm really trying to stay contextual here. So please do not accuse me or Rich. Oh, you're taking that quote out of context. No, we're not. You sit down and watch an hour and 45 minutes, then come back to me and tell me if I got it out of context, please. I did not. Okay. Now, he starts without saying, I'm correcting my own theology and you all need to know it. He says, I don't see the Bible with the same eyes I saw it with 20 years ago. So he's starting this 4-minute clip off, Rich, by saying he's correcting his theology. Now, mind you, he spent an hour and 15 minutes doing what his theology teaches. So he can't be correcting that. He's not correcting the health and wealth prosperity gospel, because he's already been doing it for an hour and 15 minutes. Okay. And so he talks about how his father-in-law, who was the individual that heads up Charisma Magazine, they'd been having this ongoing conversation about things that he wanted, that he was starting to change, and how he's going, you know, how is he going to put this information out there? And his father-in-law asks him, are you ready to make it public? And so Benny's response in this video is, not totally. I don't want to hurt my friends who, and then he goes on to say, people who believe things I don't believe anymore. Again, he's not talking about the vast majority of what he has preached and done for his, you know, his preaching career, because he spent an hour and 15 minutes doing those things. So it is not the health and prosperity gospel. Okay, he's already established this earlier in the program.
Let me stop you right there. If and I still have to say this would be a tremendous if Benny Hinn has truly turned away from the prosperity gospel and everything that it teaches, and he truly is, take everything else out, and it's just that one aspect of his theology that he has changed his mind about. If he truly believed that that was wrong, would he not discuss it with his friends for fear of hurting their feelings, or would he be confronting his friends for fear of them losing their soul to a false doctrine?
Well, and that is the thing that I think some individuals rightly picked up on. Both, Justin Peters has made a very good point about Benny Hinn's supposed repentance, that there was any actual, no real repentance shown. Gabe Hughes on his blog said that in an excellent article, which we'll share on the show notes. And Todd Friel over at Wretched Radio spent some time talking about what genuine repentance looks like, quoting the scriptures.
I have to interject. I think Todd Friel stole my show notes, because almost, not necessarily word for word, but for the most part, whatever I wanted to discuss or what I wanted to contribute to tonight, Todd Friel beat me to the punch. So Todd, I think you and Andrew Rappaport are in cahoots. I think he has a drone hidden in my home, and he's feeding you our show notes. We're just a little small-time podcast. You don't have anything to worry about. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the little bit, for the laughter and for the sliding from a serious topic, but I just kind of had to throw that in there.
No, that was
sounded extremely was extremely weird thing that occurred this afternoon. But
well, I think that's probably an indication that the Holy Spirit is fed up with Benny Hinn's lack of repentance. Let's put it that way.
And that he would bless even me with the same thoughts and discernment and takeaway from this as some of these very, very, very well knowledgeable brothers have taken away from it.
Yeah. So we'll put those links, the article from Pastor Gabe Hughes of Well What, and the video from Todd Friel over at Wretched Radio. I think you guys need to watch them. If you think that Benny Hinn is evidencing repentance, you need to pay attention to what they said here. All right, so let's get back to the quotes. So he doesn't want to really get into it with his friends yet, in full detail yet, because he doesn't want to hurt them because, well, they don't fully believe everything that he believes right now. So then the bombshell quote. I think it's an offense to the Lord. It's an offense to say, give $1,000. I think it's an offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. So what he has said right here, and this is the shot heard around the world quote, where Benny Hinn has said, it is offensive to God to ask for money for the as a purchase price for the gospel. Now, Rich, you and I could agree with that, could we not? On the surface, we could agree with that, right? To say, absolutely, give me money for the gospel, that's an offense. I agree. It is absolutely an offense. The question, however, is what does Benny Hinn mean by the gospel? The unfortunate thing, and maybe it's in the other 2 hours of video I haven't had time to watch yet, but the thing is I never heard in that half hour where he is making these bombshell statements what he called the gospel. He never really articulates it. So I agree if we agree that the gospel is that man is, dead in his trespasses and sins, that he sins because he's a sinner, that he's at war with God, that only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, through repentance and faith, can a man be made right with God and receive the righteousness of Christ so that he may enter into the gates of heaven. If that's your gospel, great. Yeah, you're right. You cannot purchase salvation. If that's what Benny Hinn means. I don't know that he does. And I'll go on with some more quotes to explain why. So he says, I'm done with it. I'm done with that. That idea of asking for money in relation to the gospel. He says, quote, I will never again ask you to give $1,000 or whatever amount because I think the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it. Now, maybe I can excuse the sloppy language, but for a man who believes that the giving of money for the, as a purchase price of the gospel, to just say the Holy Spirit is fed up with it, I think that belies, in my opinion, that it's not blasphemous. I mean,
well, it is that statement is blasphemous because it implies that at one point the Holy Spirit was okay with it, but now the Holy Spirit has suddenly become fed up with it, which
or
to me
at least tolerated.
Is an indication that at some point it was okay and the Holy Spirit did tolerate it up to a point, but now everyone has gone past that point and are violating, scripture and doctrine. To me, that's what I hear when he says is fed up with it. And like you said, it could have just been a matter of sloppy language, but taking that one statement and putting it in context with everything else that was said during this sermon, I don't think it was sloppy language on his part. I think he said what he meant to say.
Well, and that's the thing that I have tried to articulate as people have made comments via social media. Benny Hinn is a wordsmith. This man has used his words for decades to make a living. Okay? He knows what he's saying. Okay? He may not be an award-winning novelist. He may not write speeches for the greatest scholars and politicians of our day, but he knows how to turn a phrase. I think you're right. I don't think we can dismiss it. In my opinion, I don't think you can dismiss something as being sloppy language from someone like Benny Hinn.
Nope. And I know we're starting to run close on time, but there was one statement that he made that I mentioned to you in pre-show that I'd like for you to share now with our listeners in regards to buying blessings?
Yeah. And that's actually where we're headed next, because the next couple of quotes, he says, when they invite me to telethons, I think they will not like me anymore, indicating he's not going to go and ask for money like this. He says, if I hear again, break the back of debt with $1,000, I'm going to rebuke him. So he's already saying this thing of if using money to sow a seed to get this, that's bad. That's what now we're getting somewhere. He's actually narrowing in on a very, very specific thing, not an entire theology, a very specific application of the theology, sowing a seed to get a blessing. That's where he's going with this. He says, I think that that's buying the gospel. That's buying the blessing. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. Rich, he has gone from specifically just saying the gospel to now talking about something specific about if you're saying, give me money to break the back of debt, that I'm going to rebuke you for. Now, mind you, for an hour and 15 minutes, it was nothing to do with the false utterances that are claimed as tongues, the prophetic words that are uttered that are not in concert with Scripture, the false healings. None of that is what he's talking about. He's saying if you tell somebody to give money to get something, be it healing, prophetic word, whatever, that is wrong. That's what he's going to rebuke. And that's what grieves the Holy Spirit.
But didn't he say that sowing or giving money like that or asking for money, that's buying the blessing?
Yeah.
He's not refuting the fact that that's unbiblical, that you cannot buy or purchase a blessing from Christ. He's saying that buying a blessing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the indication that he's refuting the ability to buy a blessing. He's refuting the fact that trying to buy a blessing is wrong. I know it's a little bit confusing, but maybe you can kind of help straighten me out with that.
The impression I got listening to what he was saying is because he goes on to say that the gospel is not for sale. The blessings of God are not for sale. Miracles are not for sale. And prosperity is not for sale. Okay? So he is tying the miracles and healings and prosperity to the gospel. So he is saying, these things are all still biblical. The things that he was doing for an hour and 15 minutes are still biblical. It is the specific issue of a person looking into a camera and saying, send me money for this miracle, for this blessing, for this healing. That is what grieves the Holy Spirit. That is what he's saying.
Okay, throw everything else out, that statement alone. Okay, if he truly believes that, he needs to go back through his financial records. Every dime that he's ever brought in from doing just that, is he giving it away? Is he trying to support solid ministries? Is he trying to seek out and give refunds to people that did not receive the blessings that he promised or the prosperity that he promised from the money that they sent to him? This one issue alone, throw everything else out. And granted, we both know he adheres to a charismatic type of theology that you and I do not adhere to. But the rest of it, push it aside. This one point alone, okay, is there any indication that he is giving away any of that $40+ million assets? Is he trying to refund money to people that sent in to him whatever amount, in order to receive a healing or to receive a blessing?
No.
Is he trying to give any of that money back that he just rebuked the fact that this is wrong? Which
no.
means that he is admitting, and he does not come out and admit that he's been guilty of this, nor do I ever hear him apologizing for ever having done this. But if he is truly repenting on this one aspect, if he is apologizing for this one aspect of what he has proliferated across this world through the course of his ministry, if he is not trying to attempt to reconcile or to make right what he has done on this one aspect, is there any foundation to the words that he that come out of his mouth during this portion of the video?
No, and that's exactly the problem. Now, this is where we're going to catch some heat, because some people, as somebody else, you know, as the quote that you pulled from social media said, this is a step in the right direction. He's repudiating this issue. He's not repudiating much, by the way. He's not repudiating prosperity. He's not repudiating the false miracles. He's not repudiating false healings. He's not repudiating the, you know, the false application of tongues and all this stuff. He's repudiating a person saying, give me money and I'll give you a miracle. That's the only thing he's saying. And all he's saying is he's not telling people what you're doing is sinful. He's saying, don't say that anymore. I'm not going to say that. You need to stop saying that. Rich, you're absolutely correct. You know, let's go back to, you know, Luke chapter 19, talking about Zacchaeus. You know, corrupt tax collector. The Lord Jesus goes to his home, has a meal with him, and he's so joyful in the presence of Christ and who Christ is, that in verse 80 says, and it says, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. A corrupt tax collector said, if I took from anyone, defrauding them, and we know he did, he was going to restore it fourfold. Benny Hinn never says in this video, unless he somehow puts it out in the next 2 hours, and I'm pretty sure that would have gone even more viral. So we're certain he never said it. He makes no indication of actual repentance. Todd Friel in his video talking about genuine repentance goes to 2 Corinthians 7. And I'm just going to quote one line of it because I'll let you watch Todd's thing. But it's, you know, verse 10 out of chapter 7, 2 Corinthians. For godly grief produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. And he goes on to explain to the Corinthians things that they did that was evidence of godly sorrow, godly grief that led to repentance. We see none of that with Benny in this video. None. What he does is he goes on to say that he believes that that prosperity is in Scripture. He tries to kind of dress it up. He says, if it's not about adoring, loving Jesus, have nothing to do with it. So he says, I believe in prosperity. He kind of intimates that he's going to say what prosperity really is, and he never really gets into it. But he says, if it's not about adoring and loving Jesus, have nothing to do with it. And then he says, if it's about self and moolah, about how to get rich, it's not the gospel. So he's not repudiating that the idea that Scripture promises physical blessing. He just says, if your attitude toward it is to get rich, that's the problem. So again, very narrow, specific application, not the overall theology, a very narrow slice in terms of application. If you're coming to get rich, you have the wrong idea in mind. And he doesn't repudiate this whole idea of, you know, you need to tithe, you need to tithe, you need to give. He doesn't turn that away. He says we're supposed to, but then he turns it into, why do we give? Because we adore him. We love him. Because his gospel changed my life. I want people's lives changed just like my life was changed. So he wants people to continue to give because we love Jesus. So he's not repudiating the main tenets of the theology. He's finding narrow applications and he's turning it just a little bit. If you're looking for the money, and that's what you're actually coming for, well, that's you have a wrong attitude. You should just be great. If God will bless you, but that blessing is about making you adore Jesus. Okay? So he's not repudiating the theology. He's finding a narrow slice and turning it just a bit and makes it sound better.
Well, it's almost like he's trying to say, if you love Jesus, then send me money because you love Jesus. And
the whole idea of giving. Even,
yeah.
Because he actually says the message of prosperity is in the Bible. We cannot deny if we give, we will receive. We cannot deny God will bless us. It's in the Bible. He also says God wants to bless his people way more than you want to receive the blessing. But when you put a price on it, never. That's where this video stops, essentially. And he goes into two other points that has to do with politics and has to do with that the church is biblically illiterate. Well, given the sheer number of people of following you, Benny, I don't doubt that.
Well, my question, or what I'd like to kind of input right there is, he's, you know, we still get the impression that we should still be giving because we love Jesus. But I would really love to know, and would love to hear from him. Sometimes the greatest blessing God gives us is trials and tribulations to conform us to his image in order to make us rely on him and not ourselves.
Okay, and that's something I did neglect to mention. I'm glad you brought that up, because he does say that at the beginning of the video, this idea of God allows brokenness and suffering to happen in our lives. He does say that, but it's not connected to what happened here. It was something he said very early on, and then he went into the show. So this is why I say I don't think Benny Hinn, you can ignore any quote sloppy language on the part of Benny Hinn, because he knows the right things to say. But he talked about here, he didn't talk about spiritual blessings. He didn't talk about that that God's prosperity for us would be eternity in heaven and those type of things. He talks about it as a physical reality, but he disconnects it from what he said much, much earlier, an hour plus earlier in the program. So thank you for bringing that up. I do apologize, because I don't want somebody to say, well, you missed what he said over here. He does bring that up.
I know that we only have like 5 minutes left, but there's one aspect of that 4-minute video to me personally that summed up everything that still gives an insight to his thinking, to probably, in my opinion, the direction that he's going, or the direction that he's not changing from, was the fact that towards the end of that video, where something he said, and he's trying to get the ones listening to clap, and he asked a gentleman on the front row, can I get a high five on mm-hmm. that is not the words and acts of someone that is trying to purvey a sense of sorrow or apology. He's trying to get somebody to high five him to celebrate something that had come out of his mouth.
Well, and it was really interesting at one point when that you bring up the audience interaction. At one point when he's saying this, mind you, these are people that have heard from him all about prosperity, all about sowing a seed for years. And there's kind of a mild golf clap when he says, I'm not going to ask for money. And he says, do you guys hear what I'm saying? And suddenly that's like a wake up call. Oh yeah, we all need to clap. You know, we all need to get excited. I think Benny thought he was going to get more of a reaction from them than he did. And it was later, when he starts to get into the issue of politics and how there are people that don't want to speak Jesus's name, we need to be bold to speak Jesus's name. That he's got people on their feet, they're dancing and they're yelling out in tongues and they're saying Jesus, 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 like a chant. He's got them on their feet, but when he does this, it's not nearly as a powerful reaction as I think he thought he would get, because he tries to get them excited, and I think that's where the high five comes from.
But did you not find that portion, just in regards to the whole give me a high five thing, did that just not strike you as just odd?
Yes, it very much so. The whole thing was very odd. And like I said, when he has tried to make this into something, and by the way, before people point this out too, apparently, the following day, there was a video that was aired where he was asking for a $120 seed to break the back of debt. In fact, Gabe Hughes' articles references that. That video's gone now, and in its place is a video where he apologizes that it was an old video that somehow made it up on there, and he's not changed his stance on that. We're sorry that aired. And go listen to this podcast where I was talking to this particular individual. It'll be very informative. It's about a minute-long video. I'll put it in the show notes as well. But it was rather interesting. My personal feeling was I think some poor intern didn't get the memo not to put that video into the rotation, and now Benny's trying to save face. That's my personal opinion.
I told you in pre-show. I basically said the same thing, other than the fact that I used the wording that some low-level employee or intern didn't get the memo that they're going with an entirely new marketing strategy.
Exactly.
And so, that's my honest opinion is that that's all this is a new marketing strategy trying to soft pedal his stance on the prosperity gospel for whatever reason. And I will agree. I do agree with Todd Frill on this particular subject in this matter with Benny Hinn. This is a wait and see issue.
Mm-hmm.
6 months, a year from now, let's see what he's saying. Let's see what he's putting out. Even if it's a slow turn away from what he's been teaching, only time will tell. Right now, all we can do is base our opinions on what's coming out of his mouth and what the entire context of this sermon happened to be. But really and truly, this is a wait and see issue. We will truly have to wait, a few months or maybe even a year to see what direction Benny Hinn goes in. But like you and Todd Frill pointed out, this is not the first time Benny Hinn has pulled the rug out from up under people and tried to soft play an issue.
And that's the real issue here. I can't help but look at the timing of this. In last couple of years, Costi Hinn, his nephew, has really become a known name within evangelicalism and has produced now two books. The first one I just finished, which is Defining Deception, fantastic book, exposing the NIR movement, extremely well researched and has numerous citations. Highly recommend you go and read that. I think it'll be an eye opener if you're not familiar with it. He's just released God, Greed, and the Prosperity Gospel: How Truth Overwhelms a Life Built on Lies. That came out in July, I believe it was. And I cannot help but go, wow, look at this. He just wrote an article or a book on the prosperity gospel. And here, 2 months later, Benny Hinn is talking about how he's not going to ask for people to sow a seed to get a miracle or a blessing or a healing. I don't believe in coincidences. And when you have someone who has been as well known as Benny Hinn, who has a nephew who's becoming extremely well known and is becoming, is actually revealing the lies of the prosperity gospel, I do see the two as connected. And I really feel for Costi because, he posted on September 4th when this whole thing came out. He says, regarding Uncle Benny, I'm encouraged to see him express a refutation of prosperity theology and even admit to wrong teachings on that topic. Now pray for undeniable lasting fruit that exemplifies genuine repentance. Truth and time go hand in hand. Psalm 51:17, Luke 9:1-10, Luke 3:8. Suddenly can't talk. I also know, and I can't find it at the moment, where he said he hopes that this is not his Uncle Benny just trying to save face, that it's genuine. My statement in the Twitter live video was that there were a lot of people who are saying, look at what he said. Wow, that's amazing. We really need to take him at his word, and that this could be an answer to prayer, etc. My statement to that, and I stand by this, I do not take Benny Hinn at his word, because Benny Hinn has been a deceiver of many people for generations and has bilked people out of millions and billions of dollars and has lived a life of luxury on the basis of those lies. You don't give someone who's built his empire as a liar a pass and say, we'll take you at your word. You make that individual prove it by seeing the actual repentance. And what we have not seen is, as you asked earlier, Rich, all this money that he has, all this empire that he has, is he giving any of it back a la Zacchaeus? No. Nothing is evidenced of that. He has lied to people from that pulpit for decades. Is he said, I am disqualified and I need to step down? No. Has he repudiated the false prosperity message? No. Again, we just went through it. It's a narrow sliver of application about the prosperity message. And he has put it on the person to say, prosperity can be yours, but your attitude has to be right. And I'm not going to ask you for money because you should be just giving as a result of your love for Jesus. There is a very narrow sliver of application here. And I, as you said, Rich, I believe this is a marketing strategy. It is so that the evangelical church, and I can't read, look, I can't see into his mind or his heart and know his exact motivations, but I can make some educated guesses based on what I'm seeing and hearing. And I honestly believe this is an effort to get evangelical Christians on his side to say, look, he's changed. We don't have to be critical of him anymore. And people like Costi Hinn, their work is nullified. Because now if Costi Hinn writes another, if Benny doesn't change and Costi Hinn writes another book, how much heat is Costi going to take? A lot. Because look, he repented. Benny Hinn's disqualified. He's not a pastor. He's preaching a false gospel message, has for decades. He's still holding on to the ill-gotten gains that he's received from sow a seed. The fact that he can even say that's an old video that shouldn't have gone up the next day. Hey, Benny, you've been saying that for years, and you admit that you think that that's a false way to teach? Then you should be returning that money.
I have another question for you. Every video that he's ever produced that's on his platforms, whether it's on YouTube or on his ministry page or whatever, have all of those videos been pulled and taken down? Has there been a shutdown on his ministry site so they can go through and change and reword and rewrite?
I suspect you will find in time anything that has this application will probably be removed. That's just probably going to take time. The fact that this video was in the rotation to be posted is an indicator they probably didn't anticipate either Benny taking this stance and he caught him off guard, or they didn't anticipate we've got to be scrubbing all this stuff in light of what he's going to say that night. So I think you're going to see an effort to remove that. And what the argument will be is, oh, look, he's pulling away all his bad teaching. No, he's going to pull away the teachings where he says, sow a seed. That's the only thing I believe you're going to see taken away. Now, go ahead.
And let me just interject this in closing on my thoughts on this issue. And like I said before, it's going to take time to see, and it's going to be a wait and see game. But the true evidence, you know, like I said, we'll have to wait and see if he's showing true fruit, mm-hmm. if there's true evidence of what, you know, he's pulling back away from these statements and what he has done. But you made a very, very, very great point a minute ago. If he is truly sorrowful for having done this for so many years, the first thing he should do is step down as being a quote-unquote pastor and start going from there, because trust, especially from trying to put trust in a gentleman like Benny Hinn, who we know is a heretic and been a wolf for so many years, that trust is going to have to be earned by him, effort and work on his part, in order for people to truly trust him. And I'm like you, sadly, too many people are jumping on board saying, well, this is a great start, you know, that he's turning around, whatever positive spin you want to put on it. I fear that they're going to have their balloon popped in 2 or 3 months when things either go back to the way they were or even end up worse. You need to exercise discernment in putting your trust into someone like this. They're going to have to earn that trust, and they're going to have to prove and show through their acts, not just slight of words or just a tweak here and there. If someone like Benny Hinn truly, truly is given salvation and he repents and turns away from what he has said and done for so many years, we should start seeing fruit of that repentance. And I'm like you, I think it would start with returning money that he got, not necessarily illegally, but through manipulation and emotional drama.
Yeah.
See him return that money, see him step down as a pastor, see him trying to, you know, build the trust from the true church. And unless we start seeing some type of fruit, more so than a couple of statements in the 4-minute section of a 3-hour sermon, we can't have any trust that he means anything that he says. He's going to have to show it. He's going to have to prove it. And until he does that, I think we just take this with a grain of salt and just have to say, well, we're just going to sit back and wait and see what he does with this or what becomes of this before we can even actually say that this is a good start. Because at the moment, I can't even see enough evidence to say that this is a good start.
And that's exactly it. I'll say what I said on the Twitter Live video. I don't think you trust his words. Benny Hinn is a wordsmith. He's manipulated people for decades. He needs to show it. We don't, you know, there's a great twisting of the concept of repentance in evangelicalism, because the word for repentance means to change your mind. And we go, well, you just need to change your mind. And clearly Benny Hinn has changed his mind. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Benny Hinn, for an hour and 15 minutes, did nothing that was a change of his actions. He continued to manipulate the crowd. And then he spent 5-10 minutes talking about how he's changing his theology. I don't believe he has. And I know that makes me the bad guy in a lot of people's mind. But I'm a realist here. You don't get hopeful about a wolf. The wolf better have defanged himself and proven himself domesticated and willing to guard the sheep before we trust him. Or you let the wolf back in and he will decimate the flock. I'm sorry if it seems like I am negative. If it seems like I'm jaded, or if it seems like I'm being too demanding. Benny Hinn has been a wolf for decades. I don't think we give benefit of the doubt to a wolf. Benny Hinn needs to step down. Benny Hinn needs to return his ill-gotten gains. Benny Hinn needs to come under the leadership of genuine pastors and elders who will teach him the word of God. Benny Hinn is to never preach again, because he is not a man of good reputation, as the scriptures require. He has brought a reproach upon the gospel for decades. He is disqualified. And unless he does those things, a mere change of a slight narrow application of a bad theology is not evidence of repentance. Do I pray for the fact that a wolf could one day be redeemed and become this magnificent trophy of grace? Of course I do. Benny Hinn is not beyond the reach of our God. The gospel can penetrate the hardest of hearts. So pray for his salvation, please. Be on our knees in tears. but be praying for all these people who sit in that audience and think that Benny Hinn, wow, look at him. He's so humble. He's even changing his attitude. He doesn't care what people will think. He's gonna do things right, and he's leading us right. Pray for these people. They're being misled. It breaks my heart to see evangelicals, even people in our own circles, find this potentially something to rejoice about when there's no evidence. And I'm not saying that I'm better discerning than everybody else, and certainly somebody's going to point to me and say, well, Chris, you just read Costi Hinn's post. He knows his uncle better than you, and he thinks it's a good thing. Yeah, he does. And I don't doubt that Costi is praying to God nightly for his uncle's repentance. And I don't want to be, you know, in opposition to Costi Hinn. The guy's a lot smarter than me. But I don't want to see anybody get hurt by this wolf putting a paw over his teeth for a moment and saying, see, I'm not dangerous anymore. And then he bares his fangs and takes them out again. That's what breaks my heart. And I don't want to see Costi get hurt. I don't want to see his work be nullified by what his uncles may well be, very well be pulling right now. Because I think people like Costi Hinn are important. They have an important role in God's church right now. Exposing the lies. And if what I suspect is true about what Benny Hinn is doing, he is going to dull the surgical knife that that Costi has, and is cutting open this rotten flesh and exposing all the junk. He's going to dull it and make it useless. And if you don't think for a second that has not crossed people's mind within this false prosperity gospel movement, then you are naive. How can we stop Costi? You think that isn't going on right now? Do not be naive. I'm sorry that I may be the guy that people have to look at and go, you're not being nice. You're denying the power of God. No, I'm not. But I'm being realistic. I don't want to see people get hurt. If Benny Hinn is genuinely getting saved, praise God for his miraculous power that despite all the false lies and false theology and the people he's hurt, that he could save a Benny Hinn. Praise God for that. But I want to see him get saved. I don't want to see him dangle a piece of meat out and pull it away from us as we fall into a trap. There's fruit out there that looks good to eat and it's poisonous. Is his words genuine fruit, or is it a false fruit meant to harm? There's one way we know, and that is what happens with him next. I am begging Christians, do not put yet your hope in this. Let God do what God is going to do. Pray for the man's salvation, but do not give him credibility when he does not have credibility at this stage in his life. This man is old. He has been around for decades. He has lied for decades. I don't know how many years God has left for him. Pray for his genuine, true salvation, genuine fruit of repentance. But don't get excited over a few words, because I believe that is as dangerous as we can be, and we are playing with fire if we think we can just let him continue as he is, continuing to teach and lead people falsely and think that because he's not going to charge for miracles anymore, that's somehow a good sign of repentance. I think that is dangerous and foolish. So, on that cheery note, Rich, we have held on to our listeners a little longer than I think we intended. We're almost at an hour and a half in. Folks, big topic. Not everybody's going to like it, but I hope it has made us all think. Sometimes these shows have to be that way. They have to end with us digesting something big. So any last thoughts before we let them go, Rich?
Well, brother, I think you summed it all up really well, except I'm not sorry. I mean, I stand firmly on what we've stated tonight, and if it has stepped on someone's toes or they don't like what we've said, I can't apologize for speaking the truth and for stating the truth and for hopefully standing on the word of God. And, you know, yes, we need to exercise grace, but this man still, in my opinion, has no credibility when it comes to offering trust into what he said. Maybe we could do a follow-up show 6 months or a year from now and re-examine if there's fruit or what type of fruit there's been. But for the moment, no, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry for anything we've said. If it's hurt your feelings or you disagree with us, the only thing I can tell you is to pray for Benny Hinn, open your Bible, read it for yourself, and be praying for not only Benny Hinn's salvation, but for the salvation of everyone that's set under his teaching that has been led on the broad road of destruction. And in the meantime, as you go about this week, make it a point to share the gospel at least once a day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. Thank you for your time. We do appreciate feedback, even from those who will. I'm not saying if, I'm saying who will disagree with us. voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. Here's the thing. I'm going to make you a deal. We encourage you to write to us, but you need to be respectful, number one. So if your intent is to write to us and tell us how mean and cruel and terrible we are and touch not God's anointed, well, please don't. Just don't. But if you really want to have a conversation about where you think we're wrong or maybe we didn't consider this or that, hey, you're more than welcome to write to us. We are always grateful for input. So voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. And of course, as always, you can check us out on our website, slavetotheking.com, which also has our contact us page. So we look forward to hearing from you. We'll come back next week. Try not to take as harsh a topic as we did tonight, and hopefully we can bring something to you that will lift you up and build you up a little bit more. But big stuff, big information, big news needed to be talked about. So God bless you guys. Good night. We'll talk to you next time.